We're doing the Ketur Shana Aruch Mekor Chaim. We're up to the 63rd chapter, the Laws of Kiddush. And when we make the blessing on wine at the beginning of the meal, so that in areas where it's customary that they drink wine during the meal as well, so then we say the blessing on wine that precedes the meal encompasses the wine you'll drink within the meal as well. Now, what happens if you live here in Israel, where ordinarily most people do not drink wine at their Shabbos meal? So then if it happens that a person decides he wants to drink wine, so then his blessing of Borei Pri Hagafen that preceded the meal doesn't help him, because we assume that he wasn't thinking that he'd drink wine. He focused his Borei Pri Hagafen on the wine of Kiddush. Now, the same way that the blessing on bread covers all food is considered tertiary to bread, tefil. By the same token, all liquids are considered tefil, as though they come under the heading of the blessing on wine. So when you make a borei pri hagafen and you're sitting down for a meal, later on, if you're going to drink any juice within the meal, you don't have to make a blessing on that juice. You might say, we never make a blessing on drinks during a meal. And that's true, that's our custom today, but that's not so simple. In fact, Rashi held that when you make a motzi, you'd still have to make a shakol on the different liquids you drink during the meal. We don't hold like Rashi, but you see, no one does that. But meikar hadin, it's not so clear that hamotzi covers all drinks. We hold it covers all drinks. But the same would hold true if, let's say, you're at a kiddush, and you're drinking wine, and then you're eating mezonos, you're eating ragalach, and then you want a cup of Coke. So because you've really been koveya seuda, you're eating, that's your meal for now, so that's going to cover it, the borei pri hagafen. Right.
One of the wines also good for the
cook? I need to look it up. I think it says yes, but I want to look at it inside. I need to check. I think it says yes. We have over here... we don't have over here. We'll check later. I'm pretty sure it says shekin. It says yes. We live... Yeah.
When you're drinking the wine or any other drink, you have to drink a certain amount,
you're talking about the wine, or are you talking about the the other drinks?
Any drink.
Just a second. Again, your question was?
Do you need to drink a certain amount all at once in order to have to make a bracha on a drink?
So let's go one step at a time. As far as the bracha chona, it says that the bracha chona for wine covers them. And you should have in mind when you're making the blessing on wine that you're also going to drink the other drinks. But yeah. So that covers that. And you asked if you're, do you have to drink a certain volume, right? Right. So, if I remember correctly, the Mishnah Berurah is in doubt about that, but I want to look inside. I think the Mishnah Berurah leaves that as a safek, whether you need to or don't.
You must drink a certain amount.
Right. So,
say you sipped wine and then you had a whole glass of soda or something.
Right.
Which bracha chona would you make? Because the wine didn't, might not have needed because of the, didn't drink it fast enough. And the Coke as an inferior prasakrona to the Nachalosh. Maybe just make them up safe for them.
I think the Mishnah Berurah remains a safek over there, meaning we have really the scenario where we assume that wine covers other drinks is that you're koveh to drink wine. You're sitting to drink wine, meaning you're sitting at a kiddush to drink wine or something else, and then the wine will encompass the other drinks. But what would be if you're just drinking a sip of the wine? So I think over there, I want to look it up. You're just drinking a little bit or a little bit at a time. I want to look at the Mishnah Berurah and say. What happens if you're in some city in Europe where you can't find kosher wine? So this used to be very common, because in order to attain kosher wine, they had to import the wine, and it was very hard to watch over the wine, that it wasn't libated or touched by someone. So it used to be very hard to get kosher wine, and kosher wine was very expensive. So we can make kiddush over bread. So you wash your hands, you make an netilat yadayim. And then, when you come to make a motzi on the bread, you say "Vayichulu Hashemayim v'Ha'atzachol Tzva'am." You say the kiddush, and then after the parsha Vayichulu, you make a blessing of hamotzi, and then you don't eat the bread. You make the final blessing of kiddush, "Shekiddushan Mitzotav Ratzavanu V'Shabbat Kodesho Ba'avav Ratzon Inchilanu Zikron Maasev Reshit." The same blessing you make on the kiddush, you do the same thing, only instead of making the blessing of Borei Pri Hagafen, you make the blessing of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz on the bread that's in front of you.
And you wash your hands before.
You wash your hands beforehand, right. Before the Vayichulu, you wash your hands. Now, where does this come up? Sometimes you're a guest. I had this once. You're a guest by someone for the meal. And they don't offer everyone wine. Only the guy who's making kiddush makes kiddush. And sometimes they don't bother taking a revius, the right amount of wine. They take a schnapps glass, fill it with wine. So that's not enough wine to make kiddush over. You can make a borei pri hagafen, you can't make kiddush on that. So sometimes I've been in situations where they did that. They took a small cup, they filled it with wine, they made their kiddush on a small schnapps glass of wine. I'm not yotze kiddush with that. But they're not offering me wine. And if I ask for it, I'm going to embarrass them. So in such circumstances, what you could do is to quietly, no one has to know it, you make your own kiddush over the challah. And then you make a motzi on the challah, and you finish the kiddush over the challah. Let's say it's by daytime. You don't have wine, you ran out of wine on Friday night, you made kiddush, and suddenly you realize Shabbos morning, no more wine. So, again, if you have beer, if you have what we call chamar medina, if you have what's the common alcoholic beverage of that place, such as beer, so you could say the psukim of kiddush and make a shahakol on the beer. Then you wash and you make a motzi. Now that's when you don't have wine, like we said. If you don't have wine, so you can make kiddush over the beverage of the city. Now, some hold that it doesn't even have to be alcoholic, meaning some poskim would hold that you can make kiddush over a cup of coffee. If you have no wine, so the day kiddush, you take the drink that's the common drink of the place. So that would be coffee. In the United States, Rav Moshe held you shouldn't do it over a cup of Coke, because Coke in the United States isn't considered a respectful beverage. You have guests that show up, you don't honor them with a cup of Coke. You might make them a good cup of coffee. Here in Israel, Coke is considered people treat it with greater respect. I've noticed sometimes I show up to people's houses and they say, "Let me honor you," and they pull out a bottle of Coke, and I once had a Sephardi landlord. He said to me, "It's not respectful if you walk into my house and I don't offer you something respectful. And it's not respectful if you walk out of my house and you didn't drink something respectful." So he let me know that I have to drink a cup of Coke with him before I leave. So,
and if that's the case and you're mad that you don't drink Coke for health reasons, will that to refuse?
Yeah, you could tell him that. I'm just telling you, he let me know that here he's trying to respect me, and I'm not responding with the common etiquette. But that when he said that, so I said to myself, oh wow, so here in Eretz Yisrael, this is like a respectful drink, this Coke. So now, according to Rav Moshe, we could probably make Kiddush here in Eretz Yisrael and a cup of Coke too.